This is OTB AM.
Let's tell you something about Nathan now. I think he said the other night, I was listening to his commentary, actually, I got the first half of his commentary the other night. Great reader of a stat, he's just not a great reader of the game. And that's not something that I thought about. I was thinking it when I was driving. I was thinking, he's a great man for a stat, but, oh, come on.
OTB AM, Ireland's only sports breakfast show, weekdays from 7:30 AM, only on OTB Sports Radio. Live 24/7 on the OTB Sports app. The OTB Podcast Network.
OTB AM.
With Gillette, we don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters.
We are turning our attention back to the rugby now because it finished Ireland 15, France 56 in the Six Nations on Saturday afternoon. Alan Quinlan is with us to reflect on it. How are you, Alan?
Morning, lads. How are you?
Was that scoreline a fair reflection of the game?
Yeah, it was. Unfortunately, France were just too good, and Ireland made too many mistakes and errors. But it was a very, very impressive French side who probably got the best out of themselves on the day. But the Irish team didn't help themselves with some of the mistakes and errors and lost balls and issues at the breakdown. But look, it was one that was a lot of excitement going into, given the result a week before against Wales, and a lot of exciting young Irish players in this team. But it's a harsh lesson. I think Adam Grigg spoke afterwards about, you know, probably the need to experience some of this pain going forward. There's a lot of new players come into the group in recent years, and they're harsh lessons to learn. But it was a fair reflection in the end, because France were just too powerful. Some of the rugby they played was outstanding.
There's a couple of things there that I want to get into. First of all, the error count that you mentioned there. Why was it such an error-strewn performance from Ireland compared to the previous weekend?
It's just pressure from the opposition, I think. I think the tactic was to try and move the ball and try and move the French pack around a bit more, and, you know, get the ball to Bavin Parsons as much as they could, and Emer Constantine maybe at fullback attacking that line, and they just weren't able to do that without any sort of penetration up front and without any sort of gain line exposure around the fringes. So their ambition has to be applauded, but I think tactically they probably should have kicked a little bit more into the opposition half and turned the French a little bit and got a good kick chase. So I watched the game, and I'm sure lots of people did, with frustration and just some of those errors and mistakes that certainly were avoidable. You know, they're a very, very good side, France, but I think the Irish team, they didn't help themselves at times, and it's the same at any level. You've got to protect the ball and make sure you're not loose with it. And I suppose we've criticised the men at times over the years for not offloading and not looking for offloads at times. And the opposite on Saturday, probably you see the result of trying to keep the ball alive too much, and you get punished against a very physical, strong French side. But you have to commend the girls and say that their effort levels were fantastic. And, you know, it is a harsh lesson for them. They're coming up against a semi-pro team. A lot of these players are training full-time, whereas the Irish girls have got to go to work and they've got jobs and they've got to, you know, mix the rugby with their working lives as well. So it's difficult. I don't know what the answer is here. Do you make... Do we go professional here, and does that make all the difference? I don't think it's a quick fix solution. It's not needed. And look, I think there's a lot of promise and there's a lot of hope with this team and the group of players that are there, that they will get better, they will learn from this, and they will improve a lot. And they showed the previous week. I think it's very difficult. England and France are just at a different level on and I think everyone else is on a level below. Obviously, New Zealand are probably up there as well, but those three are probably at a level above everybody else in world rugby.
There's a number of factors for that. Like, one of the factors I think that maybe isn't getting spoken about enough is the difference in the club game in Ireland compared to the club game in France. And like, the club game in Ireland was just completely wrecked by coronavirus, just no games whatsoever. And like, I mean, there's talk that being in training camp for so long might have been a positive. They could have worked on a few things like their set piece, but you see like an absence of the kicking game at the weekend, sort of things, Alan, that I'd imagine you can only get to a high level of if you're playing every single week, even if it's at club level. Just being in training and training only for the vast majority of the last year, it probably held them back a good regard when it came to eating into that scoreline on Saturday.
Yeah, and I think with respect, I was reading some of the articles from former players, and they were speaking about the need to increase the player pool, make the league more competitive, get more girls playing the game at grassroots levels, and increase that playing pool. And I think it's very, very obvious on if you have more people playing the game, you have more potential to select from, and that's probably where the strength needs to come. And the RFU are in a position of financial trouble given the pandemic. And, we only saw recently redundancies in the RFU. So calls just to make the women's game professional, that won't happen at the moment for obvious reasons. But I think it will happen in the future. And I think it needs to happen. They need to get the support and the money they deserve and to be given the opportunity to be a full-time athlete. I think that's something that I remember myself as a player when I started out as a part-time player in 97 with Munster, and you're still trying to work and lots of the guys starting out in Munster were at that, and it makes such a difference when you can focus solely on the game and your diet, the nutrition, the fitness levels, the rest, all that kind of stuff. And hopefully we'll see that someday with the Irish girls, that they'll get that opportunity. But I think the media's focus should be trying to increase the player pool. And again, that's support for that will happen throughout the country and all the different traditional men's clubs, if you like. I remember in my club, Clanwilliam, probably 20 years ago, the women's team starting there and the vibrancy and the feel-good factor it brought to the club and the enthusiasm of the girls playing at the time was brilliant to have them involved. So I think there needs to be a push for all the clubs to kind of support their women's teams within the clubs as well, and try and create more pathways, obviously, through the RFU and getting more girls playing the game. And that in turn will help increase the playing pool, which hopefully will give you more quality and more players to select from. So I felt really sorry for the girls on Saturday because, the effort they put in and the commitment and the desire, was second to none. And I'm sure, they had 20 training camps in since October, since they last played Italy before the start of the Six Nations. And they put so much time and effort into that. And it was just disappointing, but it's understandable. And that was the fear going into the game that, this French team they made 8 changes to the team that played the week before. And they're just very, very powerful. And there's so much depth within that squad and their league is much stronger. So it's about increasing the strength of the league, hopefully. And that will give more opportunities to girls to play and go and play for the country, which you can see means the world to these girls.
Yeah, so something as simple as power, Alan, is something that takes years of work, I'd imagine. And like that was just such a huge difference maker at the weekend when you lost that parity. Once it was evident that France were a much more powerful team, you could see that the scoreline was getting away from Ireland. Like just a couple of things on that. Like Stacey Flood, who came on speaking after the game, and she said to be able to open your eyes to a new game, a new tactical game, it's just great experience. And I know a lot of bad has come from COVID, but it's great to have that opportunity to play 15s and get capped as well. Like, it's not just about people picking up a rugby ball from a young age. There's people being introduced to 15s from 7s here as well. There's a few other complicated strands to this, Alan, which is setting Ireland back a little bit at 15s. But at the same time, if the influence is more on the 15s game rather than the 7s game, then there won't be much room for introducing players to the game during the Six Nations. The players will have bedded in through years of experience.
Yeah, I think they have to try and work together. And Adam Griggs has had the benefit of picking some of the 7s players, which has helped the team and helped the squad and given him more options. And, they have World Cup qualifiers coming up this year, and that's the focus. Obviously, they play Italy away next week, and, to finish off third and beat Italy would be fantastic. And they've got to pick themselves up and try and do that. But you know, the World Cup qualifiers coming up again against this year against Italy and Scotland, so that's, that has to be the main focus. But it's trying to work again. It's a difficult situation trying to feed off both sevens and 15s, because look, a lot of the players that have never played rugby are going into the sevens game, and they're natural athletes, and they, it's easier probably to adapt in the sevens game. And you know, the view of the sevens hopefully will be to feed over into the 15s as well, and that they can work together. So it's a complex issue, and they definitely need more support. The one thing that was probably, you know, as Stacey Flood said, that, you know, getting that exposure and seeing what it's like firsthand, and they'll review the video and they'll look back at the ball presentation, the ferocious nature of France at the breakdown, their decision making. The overall package was so impressive, and their execution, and some of the tries they scored were unbelievable. But there was a couple of tries that Ireland, they gave them that momentum, they added to their own downfall with mistakes they made. And that kind of, the game got away from Ireland then, and it was so difficult to kind of keep the heads up, and they were trying hard. Their lineout didn't work for them. So the kind of fundamentals of the game need to be better. But the exposure to that kind of team and seeing them firsthand and experience it will only make them get better, want to get better, and understand what's required as well. So, you know, you can have a coach at any level or with any team hammering home his messages, but when you experience it, sometimes the pain of that and the standard that's required, sometimes there's added benefit in that. So they will gain that. Unfortunately, it's a harsh lesson. They don't have much time to feel sorry for themselves. They've got to pick themselves up now, and there's a great opportunity to go to Italy, try and get a result and finish third in the tournament, which would be a brilliant achievement given the level that France and England are at. And you know, they'll play in the to see who wins it. So that's an opportunity for them to go and try and do that.
What do Ireland need to do to get that win against Italy next weekend? What do they need to brush up on? Because this Italy team is a team that's coming and improving.
Yeah, well, look, they've it'll certainly won't be as daunting. It is away from home. They're not at the level of France and England. They're a very good side. They had a good side, a good win in Scotland. They've got to get the simple basics right on. They've got to make sure they win their lineup. Their lineup malfunctions, and that's a part of the game that, for any team, has to be right if you want to be successful and win matches. So they've got to fix that. Seemed to be timing issues. Of course, there was great pressure from France in the lineup, but it was slow and it was pedestrian. And you know, I've said this for a long time about the men's game. You know, the way Ireland have struggled against England in recent years, a lot of that was down to the lineout work not working well. And we saw this Six Nations, the Ireland men's team, their lineout was, the percentages were really high, and it gave them it gives you an opportunity to play, it gives you an opportunity to attack off first phase and really go at the opposition. So that's an area that really needs to get better for this week against Italy. Win your lineout, create those opportunities, and get the ball into Hannah Tyrrell's hands early so she can use runners outside her and try and get the ball wide, and use Bavings Parsons and you know, create that attack and trying to get Emer Considine into the wider channels. So look, there's a lot of things, forcing the ball in contact when you should take it in, go to ground, recycle, and probably getting a better balance of just trying to move the ball, because a lot of the time on Saturday, they just tried to move passes and ship them on and hope that the space was out there. But you've got to create that space by engaging the opposition. And sometimes you've got to take the one-out runner scenario, recycle quick, and engage the opposition back line or defensive line to get a bit narrow and then look for the space out wider. So they're probably the most obvious things that they need to have better. And I'm sure they'll Adam Griggs and the players themselves will know that.
Yeah, like one of the positive news, Alan, is that the game is actually going to be moved from Parma to Donnybrook at the weekend because of COVID reasons. So that's one thing that'll go in Ireland's favour. That's set to be confirmed, I think, today. Like on that, moving the ball better, like, I mean, we're talking about quick fixes here and thinking about ways that Ireland can improve in the space of 7 days. Just going to boot a little bit more just seems to be a way or an avenue for this Ireland team to get into games against the more powerful outfits, that had they done that on Saturday, they might have had a bit more joy in attack. It wouldn't have stopped the behemoth that France really are in their power game. But it seems that that is the way that Ireland need to perhaps move their style if they want to get the most out of this group of players at the moment.
Well, look, it's a lot of it was down to power and physicality and size of the French players. They were so physical. They were harassing Ireland at the breakdown continuously. They were physically, it was taking two or three Irish girls to get rid of the French threat over the ball. The scrum was creaking a little bit. They got a couple of scrum penalties as well. So you can't just invent players and expect that you're going to fix that really quickly. But again, I'll say this again, France and England are at a different level from a physical point of view and from a technical point of view. So it's not all about physicality and power. It's about technique. It's about ability. It's about being a unit. And the Irish forwards need to get, you know, tighter, technically a little bit better, fix the problems that they had this week. And then, you know, their biggest strength is obviously if they can move the ball. You know, they have great pace out on the wider channels. And I think Sani Naipu in the centre, she was brilliant as well. Try and get her some ball. She's a playmaker. She runs hard. She's ultra committed and you know, is a brilliant footballer as well. So, you know, the biggest strengths are, and that's not taking away anything from the, not taking it away from the Irish forwards. They'll know themselves they need to be tighter as a unit, work better. As I said, get their scrum and line out. They're the principles, right? To be fair to them, every breakdown, they're so committed. I was like screaming at the television and I was really proud of the effort, the reload and the tackle, getting back on their feet. And it was a daunting task because so much strength, power, really good technique from the French. And they just kept going right to the end. And like I said, it's just some of those mistakes and errors when you're under pressure in any sport. When you're under pressure in sport, on, that's when you make mistakes. If you can cope with that pressure, deal with it, that's what makes you a stronger, more resilient team who make good decisions under pressure. So, like we said a little bit back, it's about dealing with that pressure. And, you know, they will learn from it. I think there's so much promise in this team. I think they will get better. And, you know, in fairness, I was very proud of the effort out of all of them. I thought they were so committed and I felt so sorry for them because a few things went against them, bit of bad luck, bounce of the ball, some of the kick throughs from the French sat up perfectly for them. So small margins, but that's what happens when you're playing against very good sides.
Like you talk about feeling pride at watching that performance at the weekend and Ireland competing at the breakdown. Like there's probably elements to be taken as well from the sounds that they made afterwards. I know Ciara Griffin was fairly bullish on TV in her interview, saying that they didn't get hammered as much as the scoreline would suggest. And I guess after a game against France, after any game against England and against any professional or semi-professional team, it's very easy for an excuse to be served up for this group of players to say, ah, look, they're way ahead of us in terms of the resources they have. And it's really hard to find any quotes from the weekend where any of the Ireland players are actually reaching for that excuse, even though it's a totally fair one and it is often being offered to them, which must give you encouragement, Alan, that this group of players aren't feeling sorry for themselves. So they're going out and no matter how well resourced the opposition is, they're going out to win every single game.
Yeah, they've got to commend them. You've got to commend them for that. And I think they'll be very frustrated. I think the scoreline did flatter the French. I think the mistakes and the errors did make the French team look better than what maybe the gap is bigger than what it actually is. But they're ruthless, you know, that's how good they are. They feed off the opposition mistakes. They create that pressure. And that just, the whole game had a feeling of Ireland doing three or four good things and then backing it up with a mistake and then the opposition punishing them and being ruthless and executing really sharply when that mistake came. And So they've got to learn from this. They've got to, and it's good that they're not making excuses, but people on the outside, there is a reality there on, and we can't, we can't get away from the reality that these girls are semi-professionals. A lot of them are training full-time. They have a lot more financial support. They have a lot more resources around nutrition and fitness people and all that kind of stuff. Their league is stronger. They're exposed to more competitive rugby week in, week out. So there is a number of factors there. And there are things, hopefully, that will be addressed going forward. They're not quick fix solutions, but I think the women need more support, more resources, and there needs to try and, we need to try and create more of a player base and increase that player base. And but the mentality of the players was good. I thought they, you know, as you said, they didn't shy away from the fact that they were disappointed in the performance and they weren't making excuses, which is good to see. And I think, look, I think they will learn from this. I think, you know, 2014-15 were great years for the women's team. They beat New Zealand, they won a Six Nations. And then there was a dip for a couple of years. And there is a feeling that of optimism that this current group can challenge England, France for a title. It's maybe the gap is getting bigger, that they're getting stronger as well. They're getting fitter. But I think there's a fair bit of optimism here. And I think they deserve a lot of credit for, as I said, for the effort, the commitment, the desire that they showed. But, you know, the harsh reality of it is they've got to be better with the ball, protect it, and you know, when they get opportunities, take them and not give easy scores away to the opposition.
One other thing before we let you go, Alan, it was reported over the weekend that Andy Farrell could still join the Lions staff. Ron Gatland said the door is still open to Andy Farrell. Is this what you want to see your national coach do to try and make an effort to get involved in the Lions, given the information that you might learn or the experiences that you might have on the tour?
Well, you're always learning as a coach, I think, and that's the one thing I kind of get from any of these top-class coaches that I've chatted over the years. And if the Ireland tour doesn't go ahead to the Pacific Islands, I don't see any reason why it wouldn't be a great move for Andy Farrell personally. And from an Irish point of view, to have him there, you're always seeing different techniques, different ways of doing things, being involved with top-class players in a group, and you can take stuff away for your own team from that. So, yeah, it'd be great if he was involved. If the tour doesn't go ahead with Ireland, it would be great. But, you know, like he said himself, he's committed to the Irish job. He's not in it that long. He's trying to develop players and get to know players. And a tour to the Pacific Islands would be an ideal opportunity for all those players to be out of that really big pressure cooker of Six Nations and relax, enjoy themselves, get to know each other a little bit better and see a different side to people. So I think it would be a good thing, obviously, if that tour doesn't go ahead. But, you know, he's got to be with Ireland if they go on tour in the summer.
All right, Alan, good stuff. We'll chat to you again on Friday.
Cheers. Thanks all.
Alan Quinlan there with us every Monday and Friday here on OTB AM.
OTB AM.
With Gillette, we don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters. That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.